It's everybody's favorite time of the weekend, time for Nevada Backcountry. Though when I say favorite, I'm thinking of those kind listeners that send us complimentary emails.
They're the best.
Not your newfound friends on social media.
Oh, my Lord.
We will get into that.
God. Suffice it to say, a simple comment blows up to anyway.
Danger Dave throwing haymakers. So we'll get into that. Sincerely, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is going to be one of those kind of grab bag episodes. We had Lexi McPherson and Emily Reed in the studio last week. Did you survive your tummy ache, Dave?
I did. I felt so bad. You guys, I was looking so forward to that episode. I was like, all right. And like I was telling you, I got out of the gym in the morning. I was heading to work. And all of a sudden, this stomach ache started happening. And I was like, all right. You know, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then it started subsiding around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, really?
Recording the show does that to me sometimes, too.
Does that to you? Yeah. Well, I figured I definitely felt bad for you. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm putting Handsome Henry into a room with two ladies. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the estrogen load.
They went pretty easy on
me. Did they?
Yeah, yeah. So I did receive some feedback from that episode. Lexi, and no knock against you if you listen to this episode, Lexi, but Lexi was hard to hear at points. She's Emily's cousin, so you can imagine, she's a little animated when she talks.
Yes.
And she would be 3 feet from the mic, 6 inches from the mic.
Oh,
3 feet from the mic, 6 inches from the mic.
So she sounded like she kept like running through a tunnel.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did the best I could for you, Lexi, but we'll have to have her back on the show.
Yeah.
And I'll make her wear one of those like headset mics so she can't get away from it.
So obviously we've just determined one thing is it's genetic.
Yo, it's got to be.
It's got to be.
I forget what they said, but obviously
it's in the gene pool.
They said 30-some-odd cousins in town, a big Italian family from Reno, go figure.
Excellent.
Yeah, so.
I love it already.
I'm assuming, I've only met two of them so far, I'm assuming the rest of the family is like that too, but
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Remains to be seen.
A lot of hand movements at a reunion there, huh? A lot of that.
People can't see it, but I'm doing it.
I know
right.
You are. Yep. Yep.
No, it was a great episode. Sincere thanks to both of them for coming in. And I'm so glad to have you back in the studio, Dave. Let's dive right into, we'll go upcoming shoots first. I've been getting out, no affiliation, but man, quick plug. The Carson City Tuesday night shoots have been awesome. Dragging the kids. My wife Cynthia's coming.
It was fantastic. It was fun the last Tuesday when we went.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun. The course is very easy. It's laid out pretty well, pretty simple. And the beauty is you know, you can kind of shoot at whatever distance you're comfortable with if you want to reach it out or not. But yeah, Carson City, they always seem to do a really good job.
It's been a blast. Oh, and also the Silver Arrow Bowmen out there in Lemon Valley.
Yep.
They've got their Wednesday night Reading Prep League going on right now, too.
Exactly. Yeah. For another week or two.
Yeah.
I mean, Reading's right around the corner.
Yep. So they've got that going on. Get out and shoot. As far as tournaments, Dave, we've got a few coming up.
We do. We've already punched the ticket on a few already this year. It's going by so fast. I mean, we got out to Winnemucca and shot the indoor championship there. Then we did the Fallon Rafter 3 indoor, you know, and then Walker River had their shoot last week.
Yep.
Out there at the Rendezvous out in Yerington. The Silver Dollar shoot happened down in Vegas last weekend as well. But what we got coming up now, we have the Battle Mountain Willow Shoot, April 26th and 27th. That's a lot of fun. That's a cool shoot.
You've said that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool shoot. It's Battle Mountain, and they got a nice little course out there. It's a lot of fun. We have the Carson City Clear Creek Cancer Shoot, April 27th.
And that's not necessarily a tournament. It's like a fundraiser shoot, right?
Yeah, Carson, the Carson Club has always just put on one-day shoots. And they're just fun shoots that generally support some type of an organization. This one here is supporting cancer survivors. And, you know, they have their other shoots that generally will the money will go to a nonprofit or to an organization of some sort. So
I think that's cool for, especially for newer people where it's like, look, there's no pressure. There's no scorecard or whatever. Well, I guess there is a scorecard.
There's a scorecard, but there's not like a big, there's no money shoot. There's no big trophies to win or belt buckles or anything. You just go there. You have a good time.
Support a good cause.
Support a good cause. And it is a really easy course to walk. And you're not going up and down the hills. The course is really well laid out and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm most likely going to be at the Carson Cancer Shoot.
See if I can
See if I can get the wife to pick her bow back up. So I'm trying. I've been battling that one.
Well, hey, hopefully she doesn't listen. But after Cynthia dry fired last night, she was talking about, because that was what scared Gina off of shooting, was a dry fire.
Yes, it freaked the daylights out of her. And she did it while we were shooting.
At a league with
30 other people. So that just embarrassed the bejesus out of her.
Well, look, it happens, Gina, but I'm going to forewarn you, if you listen to this episode, my wife is already planning on working on you. And so Cynthia is going to start working on Gina to
good.
Come
I
shoot
hope
with her.
So, because Gina's she's a pretty darn good shot. And then we will be all heading out to Redding, California for the big national Redding shoot. Probably one of the funnest shoots of the entire year. It's a blast. So we'll be all heading out to that.
Yep.
And then we'll be coming back to the Nevada shoots as the Fallon Ram shoot is May 17th and 18th. I'm not going to make that one, but
I will
you
be out
will
there
be there.
For that.
You will be there with the kids. And then the beginning of June, you have the Elko Bowhunter Classic, which is June 7th and 8th.
And that's not the one that's up in that, the Snow Bowl one.
No, because that's the Snow Bowl is called the Snow Bowl shoot.
It's just,
Yeah, this is the Bowhunter Classic. I think this is in the, before you get into the canyons, the valley there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a good shoot.
I think they moved the Snow Bowls later, right?
Yes.
They moved that because of the snow that one year, and I think it just lives on a new date now.
Yeah, it does, and I don't have that on the calendar, actually. I'm not sure if they're doing the Snow Bowl this year.
Oh, okay. All right. Quota meetings. You said they went fairly well. They just happened.
Yeah, they just happened. They went pretty well, pretty standard. Now those recommendations will be moved forward to the county advisory boards or the CABs.
Okay.
And hopefully they don't butcher them like they did last year.
Yeah, you want to talk about that for a minute? Because I know Endow gets a lot of grief, as Dave's email load would attest to. but the issue last year was some of the cuts in the tags.
Yeah.
Was the CABs, the county advisory boards, they made recommendations to
the Wildlife Commission
to cut the tags. Yeah. It was not Endow.
No, it was not. The Department of Wildlife, they get all of the biologists together. They discuss the events of the year, you know, what's been going on. They go through all of their studies and all of the data from years past, get their trends going and stuff. And then they can determine what would be the best quota for those particular hunt units based on...
To meet management goals and
to meet management goals and, you know, based on the biology that has been going on for decades, adding one more year of numbers to it. Then that's pretty much where Endow ends. Then that information is then presented to the county advisory boards. They discuss it in their meetings, and then they provide comments and recommendations based on whatever their feelings are. I mean, not to say anything bad about the CABs, there's generally not scientists on the CABs.
Right.
You know, some of them have it. Some of them have ex-biologists and such on the boards, which are...
Yeah, Sean Shea was on one for a while.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, so that always helps. And there's been some others as well. And then from there, you go to the Wildlife Commission meeting, the quota meeting coming up in June.
Okay.
So at that quota meeting, the CABs present what they feel the numbers should be. Either they agree with Endow's recommendation or they provide their own recommendation and kind of a little why they recommend that. And then ultimately it is up to the Wildlife Commission themselves to say yay, nay on those recommendations.
Okay.
And then after all of that said and done, boom, now you have quotas for the hunting season.
That pendulum swung towards the side of the CABs last year.
Yeah, quite heavily.
Yes.
Yeah. There were some that where it was just, they just went strictly with the CABs recommendations and kind of invalidated the science behind some of these. You know, whatever the reasons were, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, and that's the process that we as hunters have to deal with ever since for years. So again, if you want to know a lot more about how this process works, go to the Wildlife Commission meeting in June. There's another one coming up here in May, which will be in Elko. You know, so get yourselves out there, get yourselves involved, and look at these agendas. And if there's something that really kind of interests you, get online, get the details of that particular topic, and either watch the meeting online on the Zoom or Teams or YouTube or Teemo or God knows whatever in the world, whatever process it is these days, watch it, and then you can even comment on it. You can stick your hand up and they'll call on you online.
But
I recommend that big time.
And we are up against the clock, so we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Nevada Backcountry, the show where we don't know anything about hunting, and that's why we have a radio show. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thanks for joining us again on this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to Performance Shooting Institute for sponsoring the show. And if you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, and all the past episodes are there. Continuing on with the grab bag thing this week, Dave, we talked about upcoming shoots, quota meetings. I wanted to get into real briefly, well, it's us, so it's never brief, hunter safety courses.
Yeah.
There's a few that are still available, and I want to put this out to listeners because you got to have this stuff done if you plan on applying for tags, because you got to get a license. So the three courses left are where?
Yeah, there are three courses that still have availability.
Prior to the draw closing.
Because there's only three courses. Well, there's several courses, but there's only three that still have availability before the draw deadline.
Right.
And there's two of them in Carson and one in Reno. And there's not a lot of spaces left. So if you need to get a hunter safety, or your kids do, or wife, or you do, whoever, you better get on it quick. Once they fill up, you can't even access them online. It'll just say full.
And then you're done. You're hosed. However, if you're over the age of 18, there is an availability. You can take it just online, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's why we're doing this segment right now. Because my wife and I were scrambling this morning for our younger daughter, Alice, and our older daughter, Madeline. Madeline took the online course during COVID so that she could hunt turkeys in California. They canceled all in-person hunter safety courses during COVID.
Yes.
Because she's under the age of 18, she was never able to fully complete the thing. So we're scrambling now trying to get it done for her. Public service announcement to people listening out there. Do not trust anything that is not on the NDAO website.
We
found hunters safety courses. Here's the problem. If you go in and you just Google Nevada Hunter Safety Course, there's going to be a huge list of websites that pop up. Now, what we discovered this morning was like one of them, Hunters, I don't want to get it wrong, but I honestly don't remember the exact name. It was like huntersafety.com or something like that. They tell you now Nevada allows online only courses for any age. So you click on the link, because we thought, oh, this is great. Click on the link. We can have Madeline and Alice knock this out. It takes you to the Florida Hunter Safety Course.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not going to do us any good as Nevada residents. If you're out there and you're looking for one of these, you can, if you're over the age of 18, do it through the NDAO website.
Correct.
And there's no capacity on that.
No, because you're doing it independently. So you're just going through the course via video.
Okay.
And then the kids, they can do it online, the course online, but they do have to do an in-person portion of the course to actually get their certificate.
And here's what I wanted to grind on for a minute.
All right.
I forewarned Dave when he came in. I got a few gripes. Nevada is funny about this because other states, especially the Midwest, It's basically like if you're a child and you're hunting with a licensed adult, you can just hunt.
Correct.
You don't have to jump through all these hoops.
No.
What's your opinion on that?
Having like the apprentice?
Yeah, like an apprenticeship, like an apprenticeship for kids where it's kids? Like until you're the age of 16, if you're growing up in a hunting family and you've spent all this time in the woods and spent time hunting with family members, if you're under the age of 16, you can hunt with a licensed adult, but then past 16, you would have to go through the process on your own.
So for Nevada, that would be tough to do because you could do it. The kicker would be that if the youngster, if the kid ends up harvesting or shooting an animal, you're taking, that's a tag. Where right. in the Midwest, there's...
It's over the counter.
It's over the counter.
Right.
You can shoot 6 to 8, depending on the state that right. you're in, 6 to 8 whitetail deer. And there's several states now that it's unlimited. You can right. shoot as many animals as you
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
So there it kind of makes sense to like have that okay. kind of a that mentorship tag. Because I know there's kids in the Midwest that are 5 years old pulling triggers on shotguns and crossbows and stuff in a blind, and they're whacking whitetails at 5. Nevada's different because every tag is a draw tag. So if you had you and you those four kids are taking tags, or you'd have to put those...
Well, they'd still have to apply.
They'd still have to apply.
But they wouldn't necessarily need...
The
hunter safety stuff.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Okay.
That's a tough one yeah. because then you're going to run into that whole...
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. but that, you're going to run into that yeah. whole aspect of now you've got even thousands of more people vying for tags. So the chances of those kids actually ever getting to hunt are going to be that much less.
Okay, that's
you know what
fair.
I mean?
That's fair, yeah.
So, yeah, so you tack another 5,000 kids into a draw for 100 tags, your chances go from pretty darn good to get a tag to good luck next year.
So using it almost as like a barrier to entry as far as like, hey, if you're really serious about this, you got to do this and you got to go through these steps.
Right.
Weeds out some of the people that may do it just because it's easy
right.
and take tags out. That makes sense to me. I just... Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Going through the online course with Madeline back in 2020, I don't know that knowing the parts of a revolver have ever helped me kill deer.
Yeah.
So there is some stuff in the course that, you know, we were sitting there going through the, watching the video, the slideshow, and I pulled out all my guns and thank God I have a revolver. And I was like, okay, this is what they're showing you in the video, Madeline, blah, 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 blah. But then I got thinking about it and I'm going, when have I ever used this in the field?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. It's not something that you would be pulling out of your toolbox on yeah. a regular basis. But on the same note, you know, it's nice to know how much oil is in your car.
Ooh, all right.
You know what I mean? So
all
it's
right.
it's nice to understand the thing that you're dealing with.
Right.
Even though you're not gonna be out in the field and saying, I bet you I can pull this gun apart and put it back together in 42 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you're not
yeah,
doing that. Yeah. You're like, okay, is this thing working all right? Okay, good. All right, let's do this. And then you're going out. So
rational pushback,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, rational right. pushback, baby.
I'll take it.
So, but, you know, in going back to the hunter education thing, you can still yeah. have your kids go with you on the hunt. And, you know, like I did with my son and daughter before they were able to hunt, I had them stalking with me and walking with me and
oh, 100%.
Going through the whole process
yes.
until the last minute where I'm like, sit there, be quiet. I'm going to kill this animal.
Yeah.
I'm drawing the bow. So just sit and watch. I taught them the whole process to get to that point of shooting the bow or rifle or what have you. But in my case, it was a bow. So, and they loved that. And they thought
oh, yeah.
that was the coolest thing in the world. And then when they started hunting, they already had that knowledge and some of that experience in the pack pocket, you know, like you were saying earlier in their toolbox when
well,
it came down to it.
I do that with my kid. In fact,
yeah.
that's what Madeline wanted for her 5th birthday. We went deer hunting with my dad. The reason it came up in my house was right across the border, over-the-counter turkey tags in California,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
and they've got to have hunter safety. So that's why it wasn't necessarily for, like, the Nevada thing.
Yeah.
It was more the, like, you know, this could be easier. If I could just take my daughter turkey hunting and she could hunt under me, it would be okay. we're going to follow the rules. We're going to jump through the hoops.
Yeah, it's a tough one because a lot of folks see that and go like, oh, it's just a money grab. They're just forcing you to have to buy a license now for your kid, even though the kid doesn't really need mom and dad are there. And you know, then you get that cartwheel of conversation about yes, no, is this good, is this bad?
If you're in that camp, I got news for you. The state of Nevada ain't getting rich off the $24.95 for the hunter safety course.
Yeah, and those prices haven't changed in 20 years. They've been the same flat price. Yeah, but yeah, then you go to like, when I would go to the Midwest for whitetail, it's a whole different world.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's so different.
We've talked about it before. Florida, you can kill 2 per day of the season, and they got something like a 130-day season.
Yeah, something nuts.
There's 8-year-old kids down there that have shot thousands of deer, and that's not an exaggeration.
No. Oh, yeah. So when I was in Illinois hunting there, it's a 4.5, almost 5-month season, archery. The shotgun season, because you can't hunt rifle, but shotgun season's only like 3 weeks. So when you go to some of those Midwest states, everybody and their mother, they're archers, they're bow hunters.
Right.
You know, some of those states are unlimited animals.
Yeah.
You're only allowed X amount of bucks, but you can shoot does and fawns until you can't fit them in your freezer anymore. I mean, it's insane.
I get all that. I just, going through it this morning, and maybe I hadn't had my second cup of coffee this morning, but
you were irritated?
I was just like, why is Nevada got to make this so difficult, man? Yeah. I just want my kids to kill stuff.
Yeah.
There are my gripes about hunter safety, although Dave had some very rational pushback, which is why I love doing the show with you. But hey, let's take a quick break. Thank you to Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. The show is Nevada Backcountry, hosted by me, Henry Evans, and one David Catalano, tummy ache survivor of 2025. Neither of us know what we're doing, but we would like to thank Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, for sponsoring the show. They are filling back orders on those 22 arcs as fast as they possibly can. So if you're waiting on one, it is coming. Now, I keep making jokes about how we don't know what we're doing. Where's that come from, Dave?
Oh, God. Social media.
Social media. So can I?
Social media is such a.
I'm going to give you most of the time this segment, Dave, but I want to paint the picture for listeners real quick. Dave, you are way more experienced than I am. You're what, 33? How many big game animals with a bow in the state of Nevada?
Just in the state or in total?
No, total. 30-something.
Yeah, I'm right at almost 40.
Almost 40.
Almost 40 animals.
Okay. Dave also has killed a desert bighorn with a bow, which between my fingers and toes, I could probably count how many people in the state have done that. Dave got into it, or not got into it.
All I did was I just commented on a person's video where he shoots a goat.
Right.
Like we're talking invasive type of...
So invasive species, some company posts a video where a guy shoots through one goat with a bow and arrow, and the arrow goes into a goat standing behind it. And in the video, the way it's set up, it's almost like he waits for the animal to pause in front of another animal. Kind of like I use the example, like at, you know, dove shooting, where you wait for two birds to cross to try to get
both
one
of them.
Yeah, you try to get both birds with one shell. And I didn't realize what was going on because both Dave and I are on the social media account. But I look at my phone and I'm like, what in the hell? We got a pile of notifications. Oh, people must have liked something we posted. No, they did not. I open it and it's, of course, you've got the fedora wearing, listen, young buck, I've been killing things with a bow since you were da 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 da.
Yeah.
Da, you know, whatever. And then you've got the, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't know anything about hunting. That's why you have a radio show about hunting. And I'm scrolling through these going, man, Danger Dave must have been throwing haymakers at some point. What is going on? It was a textbook example of anti-hunting propaganda. And that's that's Henry's opinion on it.
No, it's true.
And I use the example when we talked about this. I said, hey, look, I don't care what ethics are kind of a nebulous, it's a vague thing. Everybody's got their own. But I do not like when I see this stuff posted on social media because I know where it winds up, and that's on an anti-hunting website. And when you do that kind of crap, you hose me. You get hosed.
You hose all hunters.
All of us.
All actual true hunters. You hose them. And it all started because
there we go. Now, yes. Dave, I've painted the picture. Go.
It all started because I commented that you need to know your surroundings before you shoot the bow at an animal, you know?
What's the first rule of hunter safety?
Yeah.
Know your target. And what's beyond
it. That's all I commented. That was it. And the individual who obviously was the one shooting just puffed their chest up and just went absolutely bonkers over that particular comment. And then there was...
You made a friend for life, Dave.
Oh, buddy. And then there was probably like another 15 people agreed. Like, yeah, man, that's not an ethical shot. And hey, man, you know, that wasn't cool. You need to have the one animal clear the other animal before you shoot. Well, he just went bonkers over that and calling everybody like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I got more hunting experience than all of you guys combined. And he's just puffing the chest up and stuff. And I'm like, come on, dude, just admit that, you know, you kind of screwed the pooch here.
Yeah. Because that second goat did not die, at least not on film.
Well, of course, that's when the film ended. As soon as his shot goes through the animal, boop, the film stops. And many people mention that. They're, well, why didn't you continue filming?
Yeah.
You know, if you're telling everyone that you double-lunged them both and they both dropped, it looked like the second arrow actually hit the second goat in the leg.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? Oh, he just went bonkers. You can tell the poor guy's got a lot of insecurity issues. You know, and he's got to boast himself about being this world-class, amazing hunter. And all I did was like, hey, man, just we can agree to disagree.
Right.
You made a very unethical shot, and you shouldn't be doing that. And then, oh, man, holy Lord.
It's still going.
It's still going. Yeah. I mean, he's still shooting off comments to my... to what I've stated. And 15 other people that have told him that he's an unethical hunter. I mean, it's gone bonkers now. Now I kind of like, all right, well...
I love it. I mean,
let me toss a little more fuel on this because I'm going to throw another comment. I did mention to him.
I just like chaos.
Yeah. And I did mention to him, I said, you are the type of hunter that causes the rest of us, true hunters, to end up in Wildlife Commission meetings fighting for our right to hunt.
100%.
Because this video will end up on some anti-hunter's presentation why hunting should be eliminated. So thanks a lot for screwing us all. That was what I was truly getting at. It was like, this is not what we as true hunters want to promote. This is not okay that you're showing you're now giving them fuel.
100%.
All day long. I mean, if you go on any of those anti-hunting websites, it is full of videos like this.
Yep.
Why hunting should not be legal. People doing stuff like this and then posting it like, you know, like they're the next Fred Bear or Chuck Adams or something like get off your pony, buddy.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's ridiculous.
I'm glad you did it. And I think...
No, I'm not. Now my phone won't shut up.
That's okay. I just silenced notifications. But I'm glad you did it because... we've talked about this. I don't care what you do. Like, if you... It's an invasive species, you know, go on down the list. I don't care about any of that. If you went home and slept like a baby after that, that's great. Where... You have to grow thicker skin, whoever it was. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever your name is out there, where you got to grow thicker skin is if you put it out for public consumption, the public gets a vote on it.
Exactly.
And people are going to voice their opinion.
Yeah.
If you don't want that.
Then don't post it.
Then don't post it. And guess what? My life will go on. Your life will go on. Everybody will sing kumbaya around the campfire and no one's the wiser. And that's perfectly fine. I just get, I don't know how to say this, but it's that thing where it always drags itself down from like an argument of like, okay, is this an okay thing to post? Or maybe you could have the ethical conversation, but it winds up with that like, I've got the measuring contest.
Yes.
There we go.
Oh, that's exactly
the measuring contest. It's that thing where it's like, look, I've got a really good friend up in Montana who is a guy that pulls giant public land mule deer out of there every single year with his bow. Absolute killer, way better hunter than I could ever be. I've also hunted with people that bring the wrong caliber shells for their gun and miss a dozen times. It's a spectrum. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I have my good days. I got my bad days.
Exactly.
I can generally turn up animals, but you know, when it comes to sealing the deal, boy, I've screwed the pooch with the best of them. But
I've definitely screwed the pooch more than I've harvested.
Yeah,
that is for sure. But yeah,
that's how you learn.
Yeah, and you could tell the individual that's got very thin skin.
Oh, he was
insanely
salty.
Oh my gosh, super thin. Because every time anyone commented about the unethical shot that he made, he just defends himself by trying to put you down. Like, you don't know hunting. You obviously never hunted. You're not you're nowhere near how good a hunter I am. And I'm just like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm cognizant of that with what I post and you post.
Yeah,
you know, we both think about it when we post on our page. And I realize, okay, if I'm putting this out there for public consumption, the public is allowed to comment on
it. So,
and give me feedback.
Yeah. So deal with it if you're going to do it. And
someone's
be okay
got a problem
with
it. It is what it is.
So.
You know, my standard for those types of situations, I always just say, understood, I'll take that into consideration.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's it.
That's a good one. Yeah. So
there you go. Take the wind out of their sails.
Yeah. So that'll teach me to, I'll probably still comment on stuff as it comes along.
No, do it, Dave.
I
love the chaos.
Yeah. Just maybe ease into it a little bit differently. It just blew up. It's like, way too far blowing up now. Now it's a goat. It's an invasive goat. Okay, great. Hey. Sounds awesome. Have a nice day with it.
Yeah. you do you. So there you go. Now you understand why I made the comment, the show by people who don't know what they're doing. And that's why we have a show. Do not go anywhere. Last segment coming up, we're going to talk about a Ruby Energy development bill that is being proposed, or something going on in the Rubies with energy development. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Right now, it's the
after
grab
that
bag.
Riveting previous one, that riveting conversation.
Yeah, it's the grab bag episode. So we're griping, we're addressing real issues, we're addressing perceived issues like the ethics of shooting through an animal into another animal with a bow. Sincere thank you to Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show, for hunters by hunters. And unlike Dave and I, Mike that owns Battleborn Tree Service knows what he is doing in the woods. Killed a hell of a nice bull with his bow last year, but give him a call. That's Battleborn Tree Service. Man, final segment here. After the social media thing, I wanted to go a little lighter, but there's something that got emailed to me. I wanted to bring it up, and you were unfamiliar with it, correct, Dave?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this.
Okay, so as of this article came out April 8th, so about a week or so ago, and the headline
I was shooting my bow on that day, so I didn't get it.
Were you? April, what was that, the 8th?
April 8th. I don't know what it was, but I was probably shooting my bow.
Oh, yeah, well, if you shoot every day, that ends in Y. Yeah. The headline is Trump Administration Opens Nevada's Ruby Mountains to Energy Development. My initial knee-jerk reaction to this, and I'm going to tread lightly, I'm going to switch gears here and not editorialize. I'm going to try to just, we'll call it, report on this article because I really don't know enough about it. What it is essentially is the administration under Trump, and I think they're trying to pin this to Trump, I don't know yet. They've opened up about 264,000 acres in Nevada's Ruby Mountains for oil, gas, and geothermal energy development. It was part of a larger announcement by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, basically rolling back some protections that had been put into place by a previous administration. So, that being said, my knee-jerk reaction was somewhat negative to this. I really like the rubies.
I love the rubies.
There
oh
you go.
Oh, my God.
Beyond, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a special place, man.
Well, it'll be nice to get more information about what they mean by energy exploration.
Well, I'm going to look at the actual announcement, and I'm going to take from that what I can. 264,000 acres sounds like all the rubies to me, but...
Just about. I mean...
We did a little research.
Yeah. The rubies in total is 285,590 acres. That's the rubies entirely.
So 264,000 is a big chunk.
So that's a huge chunk. But the bigger thing is there is just over 93,000 acres of the rubies is actually wilderness. So that puts you down to like 180,000 acres of national forest that I'm assuming. But if he's saying 260, so yeah, it's kind of interesting to like, okay, what's this mean? And I just can't see them.
National forest. Allowing energy exploration, we'll call it, on national forest. Man, that seems like something too outlandish to actually happen.
Well, yeah, because that would open the door to so many
national parks,
you know, yeah. Yellowstone, Yosemite. I mean, isn't Yellowstone have some of the largest oil reserves on the planet?
The geothermal alone.
Oh, just, yeah, geothermal yeah, alone.
They would love
is,
to get their hands
is,
on that.
Is nuts. But
yeah.
I remember years ago reading an article that there was oil reserve underneath Yellowstone. It is enormous. It's almost an ocean of oil. You can't get to it because it's a national park.
It's a national park.
You can't just go driving in there and bulldoze and everything. This, to me, it just sounds like there's a lot of missing information in relation to this.
I'll tell you, and this shout out to a friend of mine, Ed, from jiu-jitsu. Super sharp guy, really, really conservative. But he has come up with a phrase for this kind of stuff, and he calls it TFP, Trump fear porn. The one side of the aisle.
Oh, that's cool.
They love anything that is like doom and gloom, world's ending, Trump's breaking it. They just get excited about it, and it makes their whole day. So, Ed, thank you for the term, yeah, Trump like fear porn.
Yeah, it's like their Christmas morning.
Yes, they love it. And so, I look at this, and I don't know, it was written by Brittany Sheehan. I don't know, it's from the NevadaNewsAndViews.com. So, I don't know what side of the aisle she's on. I don't know the details of this, but this does strike me, especially since the first word in the headline is Trump. It strikes me as one of, maybe it falls into the category of TFP.
Yeah, or it could be something the previous administration administered and now it's coming up and they're just tacking it to Trump. Because that's happened numerous times.
Oh, right, right.
Where it's actually something from the previous administration that is happening.
Or but, two or three administrations removed.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the gas tax in Washoe.
You are,
that
exactly.
was two.
That's years ago.
Yeah.
But either way, it's something that if it does come to fruition, something that we need to stay on top of.
100%.
Because it does set a very, very bad precedence.
Agreed.
Of now, if that's the case, getting permits to go into anywhere
and
do test drilling.
Yes.
Whatever kind of damage test drilling does, which I don't know. I don't have that type of information.
I know
what some of it is for geothermal.
Yes.
Because I've gone out and witnessed some of that. It's not super invasive, except for sometimes where you've got to get to a location takes a big...
Getting the equipment
in there to do the drilling is pretty significant.
I'll get a little bit of heat from this, and I'll probably get labeled like the, NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I'm on that side where it's like... Hey, if you want to do oil and gas energy exploration in the barren, flat plains of the Dakota, wherever, like, well, okay, hey, man, I want to pay less for gas. I think we should establish energy independence in this country.
Right.
So knock yourselves out. But when you do it in my backyard, when it's in the rubies, especially the rubies, I get a little angsty over the whole thing.
You get all Martha's Vineyard on us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when the immigrants went to, when the illegals went to Martha's Vineyard.
I would be that jackass being like, oh no,
put them back
here.
On the bus. Yeah.
No, I just don't. Hey, the Rubies are a special place.
Oh God, it's gorgeous.
I love that range, and I just don't want to see stuff I've seen go on over there in the Pequops with the mining and everything. I do not want to see that in the Rubies.
No.
And I honestly, it wasn't on my radar because, again, National Forest, I thought, well, this is untouchable. This is not BLM. This is National Forest.
National Forest.
It's untouchable. So if you're listening out there and you know more about this story than Dave and I do, please send us a text, 775-884-9910, or I'll give out my work email address. It's henry@ebc.media. Send me more articles on it. Point our noses in the right direction so we can cover this a little more eloquently than we have today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because, I mean, that Lamoille Canyon area, that whole Rubies is just, you drive up there, you could see a goat in one area, drive around a couple corners, and then there's some sheep, and it's just,
it's a special
place.
Oh,
my God. The waterfalls, just the rock formations. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
And not just for hunting or outdoor.
Just,
I mean,
just recreating in general.
I posted on my personal Facebook page, which that's embarrassing.
You figured out how to use
that
thing?
I did, finally.
Wow.
I just posted a video of someone ticking off a backcountry ski line in the Rubies. I mean, just for stuff like that.
Well, the backpacking and that backcountry fishing up there is phenomenal.
It's an outdoorsman's paradise.
Yes.
I do not want to see it chopped up, subdivided, and
leased out to energy corporations.
100%. On that note, I think it's time for us to get out of here. As always, sincere thank you to Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. And thank you to all of you who take time out of your Sundays to listen to Dave and I. Agree, disagree, like, dislike.
Yeah.
It's part of putting yourself out there in public.
Right. And no matter what, hunt ethically.